That was, hallelujah. No, that's never been said, that they can't hear me. Brother Dan, can you give me a little more volume? They said they can't hear me in the back. You probably will be able to in a couple of minutes, but not at this moment. My granddaughter is first to point out that when Paul sings at church, he's louder than everybody with a microphone. I don't know if that's good or bad, but my daughter was saying this morning that she sang most of the worship service with hers off. I said, yeah, mine was turned up too much, and I didn't have one. Hallelujah. How many of you are excited about being here? I know everybody that's on Facebook is excited about it anyway. I seen we're chastening all of them, what time they left this morning, and they was excited to get here. And I love Facebook. I even remember names better now. Hallelujah. But you know, this week is about our identity, mission identification. I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, if you know who you are, you know what you have to do, you know your purpose. But if you don't know what your identity is, then you're still stumbling in the dark, wondering what my direction is, what is my purpose. But you know, not only that or this week, my challenge to you this week will be not only to find out who your identity is, because most of you, I believe, but now are finding out who your identity is, right? Yep. Right? Yep. So how many know what my challenge is for you this week? That we're going to spy out the land. We're going to look at the promised land, and we're going to see what the treasure is in someone else this week. And see, the way that you reveal that thing is you let the light of God shine upon that treasure. How many know the beauty of this thing is there's treasure in every one of us. Every one of us have treasure in us. When our Father hung on a cross 2,000 years ago and gave himself for us, he embedded and implanted into each and every one of us his righteousness. How many know if we have that treasure inside, sometimes we are not always aware of it, but somewhere along the line, when the light shines upon what's the truth about who we are, it begins to reveal who we are, and we begin to act accordingly to that. Hallelujah, because God is nothing but light, and if he's light, we're light. Morgan, could you give me that Matthew 5, I believe it is, that first scripture, 14, I believe it was. I want to try to read at least one, and I got a whole list of them back there, and I probably won't get to most of them. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill and cannot be hidden. Next verse. I'm not using one of these too much, so hang on. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. One more verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I mean, you know that one of the things we have to understand tonight is that light is not just to direct us, but that light's to shine on whoever's in the house. Come on. You know, you see, Adam, when he fell, the separation that came, the darkness that came out of that fall was not God's creation. It was Adam's. God didn't create darkness. Old Adam did when he separated himself. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. I mean, that Adam was in the light. I mean, God is the light tonight. He's the one that directs our path. I mean, when we hear about the Holy Spirit, he leads, guides, and directs. I mean, that's a light to us. But how many know that same light then is within us? How many know it took a guy like Peter, who was a coward at a campfire, as my brother I heard say one time, on one of his tapes I was listening to, turned him from a coward at a campfire to someone that when the Holy Ghost fell upon him in the upper room, he stands up and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I mean, there was a difference. There was a transformation happened there. Something began to empower him. Something began to change him. You know, it was perfect today when I was thinking about Father's Day and how much that you know, the father empowers the son to be who he is. He encourages. And you know, I remember the times when my dad, when I first started preaching, and my brother Lynn is my younger brother, but he's my elder in the Lord, and he was the first to begin to preach before I did. But my dad would take me aside, and he would talk to me and say, Jack, you have just as good as ministry. You can preach just as good as your brother can. He's a good preacher, but you're a good preacher too. And he would take my sister aside, Miss Lisa, and he would say, now listen, your brothers can preach, but so can you. You're just as good a preacher as they are. I mean, it empowers you to begin to think about who you are. And you know, every time I would get up to preach, the first thing I would hear was my dad sitting on that front seat right there going, "Preach good, boy." I knew I had somebody behind me. If I didn't preach a lick or anything I said was any good, my dad was going to amen me anyway. I'll get it out in a minute. I had somebody on my side. I had somebody supporting me. How many know, young people, you are here this week, and those people that are sitting around you are here to support you in your journey to the Lord. They're here to bring out of you the treasure that's inside of you. We are not here this week to sit by ourselves, to be alone, to not be involved. I want you to just go ahead and make up your mind. You're going to have yourself a good time in God this week, and I promise you, you're going to be blessed out of your socks this week. Hallelujah. And Adam, the thing that separated Adam from God was, you know, God says to Adam, "You can have of any tree this garden. Everything in here is yours. Just don't partake of the tree of good and evil. Stay away from that tree." First thing Adam does. I remember Jason when he was younger. We were at a basketball game one time. I know it. We were at a basketball game. Jason and his dad were standing on the sidelines. Basketball game's going on. Jason's stepping out across the line, watching the basketball game. His dad said, "Jason, get yourself behind the line. You're not supposed to be across the line when the game's going on. Stand back here." Dad gets a talking. Here's Jason. He's jumping across the line. He's a grinning and he's a jumping back. He says, "Don't ever tell anybody not to do something. Because as soon as you do, they're going to do it. They're just going to have to then, because there's got to be some reason. It's got to be too good not to." It was good until the law came. Hallelujah. And so Adam, you know, the separation came. Let me define this to you. Darkness and light are not equal. Darkness is the absence of light. Never is it as equal. When light comes, it does not push darkness to the side. It dispels it. It gets rid of it. It is not its equal. It is simply the absence of light. And what Adam done is when he partook of that tree, in the minute that he reached up and he got a hold of the tree, absence of light came. He created a place of distance between him. What is that separation between us and God? It's darkness. What happens when the dark, let me ask some of the kids this. When you are at your house and a big storm comes up, it's nighttime, all of a sudden the storm hits and knocks all your power out. What's the first thing you do? First thing you do is you just freeze right where you're at because you can't see anything. First thing you do is you hope the light comes back on. I mean, when it's dark, you can't maneuver. You can't go forward. You can't go backwards. You're groping. You're not sure what direction. I know I've lived in the house that I live in. I helped build the house before I got married, moved into it when I got married. Been there 34 years. But when it's pitch dark in there, I'm still reaching along the walls trying to find my place to where I need to go. So the first thing happens is that there's darkness comes. You stand in a place where you're not moving any longer, and then fear sets in. Good choice. But you know what happens when the light comes? Watch this. Did you all hear that big roar? Look what was doing that. Look here. You know what light does? Light reveals what's in the darkness. Light shows us that what we thought was mean, ugly, bad, wasn't so bad and ugly. Come on now. You know, there's a lot of things that, and even in myself, as long as I've got light in the house, there's things that, you know, that can come to my house and won't bother me as long as I can see it. But when the lights go off and I know that thing's there, even though I know it's there and the lights are out, it's going to bother me until the light shines. What it does see, that when that light hits whatever it is that we're afraid of, it dispels darkness. And what it creates in us is never again can the darkness come on that thing, because the truth has already been revealed in the midst of it. And you already know that what you thought was a big bad devil is just a little old kitten with no teeth or claws. Because the light has dispelled the lie that we've heard for years. Let me tell you what else the light does. It dispels the lie that you've been told all your lives that you're never going to amount to anything. It dispels the doubt that you have in yourself. It dispels that thing which has told you you don't have any ability. You're not smart enough. Because God stands up in the midst of it, reveals the treasure that's in you. What we find out then in that treasure, in the darkness, when the light hits, when the light hits, we find treasure. When the light hits, we're going to spy out the land this week. And we are not looking for what's wrong. We are looking for what's right. We are not going to, I refuse to look like I'm a grasshopper. I am not going to have a mentality that says that I'm a grasshopper in my eyes and in their eyes. I refuse to. I heard somebody say one time by the name of Caleb, we are well able to take this land. Young people, the light is declaring to you that we are well able to take this land.
Yes, sir.
Because what that light does is dispel that darkness, and truth manifests itself. My granddaughter, 4 years old, climbed into bed with Grandma and Grandpap the other night. She looked at her grandmother. Let me turn the lights back on for you now. Just give me a few minutes. I'll be done. She climbed in bed with Grandma and Grandpap. Rolled over to her grandmother, looked at her face, said, Grandma, snuggle me. Grandma starts snuggling. She looks at me and she says, Papa, crawl over here and snuggle me too. So she's a little four-year-old little thing in between us, and we're a snuggler. And she said, Papa, monsters can't get in here, can they? I said, they sure can't, baby. She said, because monsters are scared of preachers, aren't they? I said, they sure are. In this house, there is no monsters. Clint's printing me up a t-shirt from that. It says, when monsters go to bed, they look in their closet and under their bed for pawpaw. Because light reveals that they're not such bad people as you thought they were. You look at people sometimes on the exterior and you think they're monsters. You got to look beyond what you see on the outside. My challenge to you this week, find somebody that you wouldn't normally associate with and find the treasure that's in the midst of. I dare you to find somebody to help shed a light to. I dare you to walk up to someone you normally would not associate with and find the love of God that's in the midst of them and the righteousness of God and watch that thing grow out of its place. We are in an awesome week. And this is just the beginning. We're just getting started. We're living in a kingdom of peace. The greatest day that there has ever been. David has taken the land. He's destroyed by the blood of... He has had to be a man of war and he's destroyed by blood. But he's about to give the kingdom to his son Solomon. Two things he tells Solomon before he gets ready to take the land. There's two people you got to get rid of. You got to get rid of Joab because he's got blood on his belt and on his shoes. In a time of peace, he was a bloody man. We're not men of war anymore, Brother Allen. And I know you're not because I read your Facebook too. We're men of peace. I'm girded about my loins with truth. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. I'm not a bloody man. I'm a man of peace. I'm here to tell you who you are in Christ. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to worry about taking the kingdom. It's already yours. I'm telling you, you're not looking for treasure outside yourself. It's in you today. It's already in here. You just got to let that thing manifest. You just got to let some light get to it. When the scripture begins to talk about outside the city gates, this darkness, and outside of that, you know how you get rid of the darkness outside the gates? Brother Allen, walk up here one time to me, would you, brother? I'm outside the gates tonight. Let your light so shine that men might see all of a sudden what was darkness is light without a battle, without a war. Light came into a dark place. You have the ability to be world changers. You can sit back down, brother. Thank you. I was out this week eating breakfast. Truck driver from Virginia was in, sitting next to us, and we were talking about the youth camp. Some of the guys out there, we were talking to about it. My dad and I go to breakfast every morning. When we get there, our coffee's waiting. Brother John, back there in the tape room, greets us, "Hi, Jack." Jack. Know all the guys out there, all the power company boys eat there, know them by name. All the old timers that's been there for a long time, I feel like I'm fitting right in with the crew. We were talking and joking and carrying on, and the truck driver said, we were talking about something, I forget what it was, and the truck driver said, "Yeah, my daughter just volunteered, I think actually Peace Corps, where Galen and his sister and them were getting ready to go see her daughter and them over there. That's where they're going for their journey here in just the next day or so. They're leaving to go over there to be with them." And he said, "I'm always worried. She's 22 years old by herself. Nobody to take care of her." And he said, "I'm always worried about being out there by herself." And what I said, "Yeah." I said, "It really makes a man want to pray." He said, "Well," he said, "I've never been a praying man. I don't really believe that much in God." He said, "I can show you 50 different religions and all of them have a different opinion." I said, "Yeah, that religion has that. But God and salvation and relationship don't." I said, "Religion's always been a thing that's created war. But not a relationship." And he said, "Well, you're wasting your time. You're just spitting in the wind." And I just grinned to myself as I thought to myself over the years, the things that I've seen God accomplish through the young people that have come into this house in this youth camp for a week, who are now ministers and pastors and worship leaders and leaders in government and leaders in society, doctors, lawyers, accomplishing something. And I look at, I said, "Well, I said, you can believe what you want to, but I'm telling you, I know a God who can take care. And I'll pray for your daughter that God will take care of her." I mean, we got to just be a light. We don't have to contradict. We don't have to, when you go to someone, you don't have to preach, shove the gospel down their throat. You just be the light. I started finding myself even when I'm at a Walmart or a shopping mall and some elder person comes by or some older man comes by and he's got a 50-pound bag of dog food. I follow him to his car and ask him if he needs help putting it in his car. Sometimes he probably thinks I'm going to mug him or something, but... He wants my dog food, yeah. When I go into the truck stop and those boys are cutting up and carrying on, I don't try to make them feel guilty for who they are. I want them to be comfortable when I come in. When we get there, our coffee's carried back to the table. We don't have to order it. They know us by heart now. Almost know. Dad will change on them every now and then. Yeah. We're light. Everything we touch changes. Not just because we can quote scripture, because we have a love within us and a relationship that we want to share with someone else. We're not trying to push our doctrine or our belief. We're trying to preach to people the love of Jesus Christ, unconditional, that he did for us, and let our light shine that others might see. In the darkness, light always dispels it. And see, the beauty of that is that once it's dispelled, it can never come back to that place again. God said in the beginning, "Let there be light." And at that moment, at 186,000 miles per second, God exploded into light in every direction. God is still in every direction going at 186,000 miles per hour. When God said, "Let there be light," he didn't say up till here. It's still exploding in every direction at 186,000 miles per second. Glory. You did about see me explode there. And if you think that's a lot, in just the time it took me to explain that to you, how big do you think God got in that much time? Because when light shines, have you ever noticed that when the lights go out and somebody has a flashlight, you're going to find they have friends. When you walk to the campfire, not everybody's got a flashlight. Look and see who the guys are walking with. It's somebody carrying a flashlight. Why? Because the light draws you to it. You don't have to go, "Here's the light." It speaks for itself. I've got a good friend in our church, named one of the elders in our church called Henry Knowles, and he went hunting one time, and up in the mountains in a place where he never hunted before and got lost. And he was wandering in the wilderness, and there was nothing around but trees. He was lost. And down through the trees, he seen a small speck of light. He started walking towards that light. 2 miles later, he gets to a house where he finds out where he's at and realizes he's went way too far the wrong direction. But can I tell you, 2 miles away in pitch darkness, the light was shining. Because darkness is not the equal to light. It's the absence of it. And every time light comes in and fills that void with light, there's less darkness. And every time young people come together like you are this week with the knowledge of who you are, and every time you affect somebody else, the light grows. It gets a little bigger. It gets a little larger. And every time it does, this kingdom is expanding all the time. We're not at a standstill. You're at a standstill when you're in the darkness, when you're unsure of who you are, when you're unsure of what direction you're going. We're not here. We're here to have a great time this week. We're going to play volleyball, basketball. We're going to fish. Some of you are. Us old guys are just going to watch you. I used to play all that. Not anymore. We're going to have Bible studies. We're going to have dance and music, and we're going to do all kinds of things this week. But the greatest thing is, you're on a treasure hunt, and you're to find identity and who you are in Christ. And those of you who don't know, by the end of the week will. And those of you who already know can find that treasure in somebody else. Because when you spy out the land, you're looking for what you're supposed to be looking for. Caleb and Joshua went in to look at the land over. They weren't looking at the people. They were looking at the promise. And the promise was, this is our land. And Brother Jeremy was teaching. He's been teaching on the book of Joshua for the last while on Wednesday nights at our local assembly. And the thing that I like about the scripture we were just reading, the chapter we were just on this week, was is where Caleb stands up and looks at Joshua and says, Joshua, I've waited this long. I want my peace. I'm 85 years old, but I'm just as strong today as I was 40 years ago. And I like what he says. I'm able to go into war and to come out. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm not just going to wait for somebody else to give it to me. I'm able to take. Do you realize today you are able to take the land that you've set your goals to do? You have all the ability you need to be what God has called you to be and to be what you choose to be in God. You have all the ability. It was amazing to me. We had a promotion Sunday a couple of weeks ago. What's promotion Sunday? That's the first time we ever had one, so it was hard for me to understand too. And all we were doing was celebrating our children graduating from one grade to another grade. We just wanted to recognize our young people and what they were doing in their abilities. We wanted to recognize Miss Liza Weinbrenner House, who's a doctor now. We wanted to recognize that she's got a residency. We wanted to recognize the accomplishments that they have made. And when the children got up and started, as we were giving them awards and as our children's church ministry was giving awards, almost every child that came forward was on the AB honor roll and excelled in all kinds of classes. Two of our children got citizenship awards. My granddaughter Cheyenne is in the third grade. 4 citizenship awards are given in the third grade. She got one of them. Dr. Joseph Hashem's daughter Katie, which is my children's church youth pastor, is Brenda Hashem. Her daughter got a citizenship award in the fifth grade. There was only just so many gave. President's award. Out of the whole school, that many people, and there's 2 here. And then I was noticing, too, we have some young people in our church who are coming, who at home, their homes are not real stable, but the house of God they come to is. And they were making A's and B's, and they were excelling in their grades. And they were doing. Why? Because it's not just about us as individuals, it's about us as a whole. We are doing this together. We are going to accomplish much. You guys are going to go far and farther places than us older gentlemen will ever get to. But you know what's going to be great about that is? I'm going to sit back and smile and think, you know, I had a hand in that one day. When different ministers get up to preach today that was in this youth camp and when they were kids, I said, you know what? I might have had just a little bit of hand in what's happening in that man's life today. Thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have to speak into their lives. Different walks of life and different organizations, different jobs. My son-in-law, Clint, he works for a communications company, Cisco. They're all over the world.
Is it all right if I tell that, Clint? Okay. He don't like me to brag about him. But I like to. Yeah. He does everything that I have. Chapel of Praise websites, Lens websites, and he does that stuff for us. When my computer breaks, I sit here, son, I don't know what to do with it except click it on and click it off. Fix it. His vice president and his immediate supervisor has recommended him to be a liaison to the President of the United States. That if he would, you know, if he would get to fly on Air Force One, he would have contact with the Vice President, the Secretary of State, and he would do troubleshoot for their computers and stuff to make sure that nothing happened when they needed it. Now, it may not come to pass, but to me, it's a great honor just to be recommended for it. And another alternative is in the next year, he may have to move to another country for 3 months, either Germany, England, or Australia, to teach those men of leadership and communication what he does for a job. He gets to come back. I don't want him to leave forever. You know what I thought immediately? God is financing a missions trip through a company, and they don't even realize it. And what better way to affect it than through communication? I'm not saying all that to just, now, you know, and like I say, if he never gets to be a liaison to the president, that's okay with me. I'm proud of just what he is. Amen. But for them to think that highly of him, God in the midst of him is a light that's shining to people around him. And let me tell you something, young people, you are highly favored of God. There is no limit to where you can go. You think you're just in a small place and you can, you know, what can I do for God? We're a small church of 50, 60 people. And we just might have a man in the White House. You're a light in darkness. And all you got to do is let it shine. And you will be surprised at what God will do with you and your life. And let me tell you this. Everybody's afraid, well, if I serve God, he's going to make me do this or he's going to make me do this. Let me give you some rest here. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. God will give you the desires of your heart. But let me say this to you. He may also turn your desires towards what he wants you to do. Because I used to say I didn't ever want to be a preacher. And now at times I really do enjoy it. So don't worry and stress about that God's going to mess up your life. He's going to enhance your life. And everything you do is going to be even better than you expected it to be without even having to ask for it, because you're highly favored of God. God did way more in the new man than Adam messed up in the old man. And you're a part of that tonight. Your mission this week, find the treasure that's in someone else. Look at someone that you would not associate with and try to reach out and find the treasure in the midst of that life. I promise you, you will see a change happen in the midst of that. I learned the hard way 1 year. You know, we had a young man come here, and we had a couple of years where we had some pretty unruly children came. Some of them wasn't in church. Some of them didn't have anybody with them, so they could do what they felt like they could do, what they wanted to do. One of them got outside and got really belligerent, and my temper rose, and I started yelling. Now, you know, I'm not that way. My dad grabbed me by the arm and said, "Jack, that's not how we handle things." He's standing right there. He's not a big man, but he's big enough to tell me, because he's my hero. And I stopped for a minute and thought, you know what, God, that's not the way you get to people. He's used to that. God said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to focus on that young man this week. I wanted you to make it your